Welcome to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can find us on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Austin Price here in the studio with you, with my co-host Bill Clark, who's one of our lovely sponsors for the show, and the other one, Coach and Forest Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road across the street from Five Flag Speedway. Bill, War Eagle, and good morning, my friend.
War Eagle, and what a great week for Auburn Athletics all the way around. I'm looking forward to this coming week.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the upcoming week. But, you know, you give me a rundown, last-minute rundown of like, okay, here are some of the things that we should talk about as far as just Auburn Athletics as a whole before we get into the meat with the whole men's basketball thing. And two of the things that we were just talking about were baseball and softball. We've been touching on them more now that they're coming back into season. And if I'm not mistaken, the Tigers are both sports off to booming starts, correct?
Absolutely. The softball team is off to a roaring start. They're 14-1. And I believe they have a game tonight.
Okay.
But I can look that up real quick while we talk about them. But their starting pitcher, who just started this year, is their number one pitcher, is 9-0 in her starts.
Wow.
That's just lights out incredible. And they will be more telecast of their games once the men's basketball season's over with.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to be more into baseball and softball. So we'll be getting a good look at them, more opportunities to get a good look at them on TV once the basketball season's over. Actually, their next game is tomorrow. Excuse me. They play Friday. The games are at Auburn. They start off, it's a doubleheader. They play against Rutgers at 3 and then McNeese State at 5:30.
Okay.
So both of those games it says they're going to be on the ESPN Plus Network or SEC. So I'm sure it's just going to be a matter of which teams they want to put on which network. But should be able to get a good look at them tomorrow if you want to watch the women's softball team. I mean, what more can you say? A 14-1 start—that's that leads to high expectations, or
right.
Crushing disappointments.
Yeah,
and
hopefully the former.
Yeah, the men's baseball team is off to a roaring start as well. They're 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really good feeling about this baseball team. You and I talked about it before on the show when Auburn came here and played a doubleheader. It was only 7-inning games, but exhibition games at Wahoo Stadium.
Against Florida State. Promising program.
Yeah, we got a really good look at what the pitching was going to be like and a really good look at what their offensive bats were going to be like. Offensively, they're great. They had that one kid who, unfortunately, it was last week. His mother died, I believe, the day before the game.
Oh.
And he hit a walk-off home run. Of course, the team was real emotional and everything around him when he got to the plate. So the baseball team's going to be a fun team to watch. It's going to be really hard to keep that kind of record going in the baseball, especially in the SEC once you get into conference play, because I mean you've got really good traditional baseball teams in the SEC: Vanderbilt, Ole Miss,
Texas,
Mississippi State, even South Carolina has had very competitive baseball teams. So to keep an 8-1 run going, that you're talking about a season where they're all, if they can keep that up, where they're only going to have 4 or 5 losses for the season, that's going to be really hard to do once we get into the SEC play, conference play at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But I really believe this team has what it takes to make it to the College World Series, but we'll see. We're right in the beginning of the season, so.
It's early in the year, yeah.
I don't want to get too deep into what my predictions might be for that.
Yeah, there's a lot that can change as far as you said, just getting into your conference schedule. It's that way with every sport.
Yeah, another cool thing that happened this week, before the start of the Auburn-Georgia basketball game, mm-hmm. they honored the men's golf team, the reigning Ooh. National champions. So they had a nice – I got to see bits and pieces of that on YouTube, you know, people shooting video from the crowd. It was nice to see that kind of rally around, you know,
golf.
We own the national title in men's golf. We're ranked number one in men's basketball. We're ranked number one nationally in equestrian.
Right.
There's so many things around the program for everybody to be super excited about. I'm not just celebrating the titles that we own coming into this season, but the possibilities of what can be for this season. The women's basketball program, we've talked about it before. It's a work in progress. They're getting better. Their record is still 12-15, and I think they play a game tonight. They lost this past week against Alabama, but Alabama was ranked 22. Ooh. So, you know, it was against a ranked team, and it was at Alabama. So,
right.
I mean,
ranked rival on the road. Come on.
I mean, the outcome was predictable.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. Janai Broome reached a benchmark over 2,500 points for his career at mm-hmm. in college basketball.
Yeah.
So we got a lot to talk about on these last two men's basketball games, but I wanted to get a lot of that other stuff out early because there's more to celebrate and more to be excited about surrounding Auburn University than just what's going on in the men's basketball program, even though that's the headliner right now. All these other things are going to be people that are big-time Auburn fans like me immersing themselves in the entire athletics. You know, there's so much to look forward to for the remainder of the year. Not to mention what's coming up, you know, with the possibilities in the football program.
Yeah, a lot of potential there.
I did see one of the ESPN analysts preseason. They always like to rank people or players preseason about what their possibilities are based on their position. Mm-hmm. And right now with the acquisition of Singleton as a receiver at Auburn, he, according to that this guy's analytics, is the number two NCAA receiver, according to what he measures receivers by.
Wow.
So, you know, we've got Cam Coleman returning.
Yeah.
He was a standout freshman last year. I mean, and as a freshman, you know, you gotta think about it from the standpoint he came onto the campus for the spring game, so he did get the benefit of learning the system early.
Right.
But that's still a hard thing to do, especially for a Hugh Freeze type offense, because that's a very difficult offense. It's a lot of reads. It's a lot of RPO.
Yeah.
And you know, you gotta be ready to listen for the changes and run a different route. And you know, for somebody that's just out of high school, that's not only is it a huge step up in speed and athleticism on the other side of the ball, it's a huge step up in your football IQ.
Yeah.
And he adjusted. I think he did great. He started off like you would expect a freshman to start off. He dropped a few balls. He ran some routes probably that were not
ideal.
That were not what were called. You know, unexpected. And I'm not saying that was, the way Auburn performed last year was all his fault. It was, you know, it was a team thing.
Well, absolutely.
And we beat that horse to death during the football season. You know, Auburn turned the ball over too many times, made way too many mistakes early.
Yeah.
Got better as the season went on, but, you know, it was unrecoverable at the midpoint.
Well, and that's what I was going to say about the odds that Cam kind of had to overcome. Early in the year, you had the turnover issues. You had some quarterback switching up there. We went from Peyton to Hank
Brown.
Yeah, yep. And he had a good game, and the next thing you know, he collapses just a week later. So there was a lot going on there with his offense and with him having to come up into that. Yeah, that was pretty tough. So to see him finish on the note he did says a lot.
Yeah, well, Cam Coleman had a great finish to the year. I think he ended up with like 4 touchdown catches in the last 6 games. So he's improving, and now he's going to be in his second year, and obviously he's, you know, 18-year-old kid's going to grow a little bit in that year.
Right.
I'm not saying he's fully grown, but he's a man. He's a big, big man, and he's fast. And he gets the benefit of having his second year in the program. He didn't reach the top 10 in this ESPN analyst the way he broke down the receivers nationally. He's probably somewhere in the top 25 of those type analytics. But Singleton, I mean, we know what Singleton brings to the program because he had 2 years playing at Georgia Tech. I mean, you know, and he was the leading receiver at Georgia Tech. You know, it makes sense for him to be in the top 2 in this guy's analytics going into the preseason.
Yeah, he's proven it.
Well, and part of what goes into that equation, I'm sure, is who his quarterback is going to be. So, you know, they're figuring in Jackson Arnold, who is an RPO quarterback, is going to be finding that number one, you know, marquee receiver.
They're seeing what we're seeing. The quarterback room is improving.
Yeah, they're seeing a total improvement in the offensive scheme with bringing the right type of players in. So, you know, the transfer portal, I think we did real well football-wise. I think we had a top 3 transfer portal acquisition year. Nationally, the big thing, and we've talked about it before, is picking up those 2 offensive linemen, the 2 tackles.
Yeah,
that was huge. you know, our starting center, you know, God bless him, he's got another year, and now he's got some help. He doesn't have to feel like he's the lone wolf guy out there. But, all these other things are things to look forward to. Obviously, we're riding really, really high right now with the Auburn basketball program.
Yeah.
Auburn is in its 4th week now, unanimously ranked number 1. Even though we've been ranked number 1 more than 4 weeks, it's
you've been ranked number 1 for a while.
Yeah, well, since we swapped out with Tennessee, 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago. But there were a couple weeks there where Tennessee and Florida and Duke stole a couple of votes, and we didn't get the unanimous number 1.
Yeah.
But we were like, you know, 58 of the votes for number 1. But 4 weeks now this season, we've been unanimously ranked number 1. And even though Janai is not 100%, he obviously is getting better each and every game. And, oh, my gosh, this past week, it's a Bruce Pearl basketball team, and he teaches unselfishness and teamwork and speed and ethics and, you know, work ethic. And so Janai Broome is not on an island by himself, but he could be.
if he so wished.
Yeah, but his performance since being injured and coming back, it's obvious every week he's getting a little better and a little better. And he's becoming a much more of a dominant force, especially on the defensive boards.
Yeah.
That's where I saw a lot of improvement this last week was the defensive game that Auburn put out there. But we had an offensive showcase last night.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, that was awesome. We got a lot to talk about in the next couple of segments.
I was about to say, you have actually set up a teaser for the next segment beautifully because it's already 10:16, so we'll take a quick break. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And yeah, when we return, we'll be talking about this dominant week men's basketball has had, beating Georgia by 12, beating Ole Miss by 30, complete offensive and defensive masterclasses in both of those games. This broadcast brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from Five Flag Speedway, and my co-host Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coachman Ford Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coachman Ford Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Being young with unlimited energy to burn. Ever since I turned 40, I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
All guys lose their edge when they turn 40. The body has less testosterone. That's why I take Nugenix Total T.
I've heard about Nugenix. That really works?
Since I started taking Nugenix, I'm lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. I feel more energized at work. It's even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try?
Yep, send a text. It's that easy.
Text EDGE to 424-24 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text EDGE to 42424. That's EDGE to 42424.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Sunbelt Conference basketball returns to Pensacola, Florida, March 4th for the men's and women's championships.
Cinderella finds a way.
Get your seats at the Pensacola Bay Center. Tickets are on sale now.
Puts it up. And in!
The 2025 Sunbelt basketball championships from the stunning Florida Panhandle in Pensacola, March 4th through the 10th. Go to Ticketmaster.com for the best in college basketball postseason action.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best boarhead sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie boards to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wine, and Cheeses. Find them today on the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
I'm not mysterious. I understand that. That's one of the things I'm not.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, my word.
The Rich Eisen Show.
You are listening to the home of The Rich Eisen Show, hosted by me, Rich Eisen.
Watch out, because I'm coming for you.
Tune in weekdays for the very best in the world of sports and entertainment with me.
I'm coming after you like every day.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Your humble host on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, weekdays 11 to 2 on ESPN Pensacola.
This is your official station for March Madness.
College basketball lives here
on ESPN Pensacola.
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And Bill, when we left off, we had kind of teased ahead to this last week that Auburn men's basketball has had. And we'll talk about the first game first. Who would have thought? You beat up on Georgia 82-70, and you had mentioned how Jani Broome has just really ramped it up. I mean, even by his own standard. And I'm looking at this, man. First thing I noticed about this game, first takeaway. Georgia, we mentioned last week how they hadn't faced Jani Broome yet. They had faced an Auburn without him. And that was very evident. Jani finished this game with 31 points, 14 boards, and 2 blocks. Completely ruthless performance by him.
Oh, yeah, and 4 assists. And
yeah.
2 of those 4 assists were alley-oops, you know, to Cardwell and I think Denver Jones. Yeah, well, I mean, you go back the game before that, the Arkansas game. He was 16-12 with 2 assists. So, I mean, you know, it's double almost the points and keeping pace with the rebounds and the assist.
Right.
It's just, you know, every game, you know, every game he improves, you don't see him limping around or favoring the left ankle near as much now as he did right after he came back from the injury. And it's affecting the way these other teams are having to not only defend him when he's on the offensive side of the boards, and is you know, he's always been the big guy threat under the basket. Now he's taking those 3-point shots more often, and he's getting better at them. His percentage at from the 3-point is improving as well. You know, it's just, but he's not alone. He's got all these teammates behind him. You know, the one thing I took away from the Georgia game, and this is a shout out to the Georgia team, was Blue Kane. He was a standout player the first time we played against Georgia. He was the guy I was watching. you really got to defend him because he can find a way to get to the basket and get the ball up.
Right,
and he did so as well in the Georgia game. I don't know what his individual stats were because I didn't print them out, but he was definitely one of their primary offensive threats. And him being a smaller guy, he's kind of like a Tahad Pettiford.
Yeah,
you know, you underestimate his size, and you forget about his speed and his ability to get around your defense and get to the basket.
Right,
his scoring ability in the paint was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't like a walk in the park kind of game where we're playing, you know, McNeese State or Toledo or something like that, you know, who's an unranked team. Georgia's probably going to be in the tournament. Their record is after this Auburn game was 16-11, and we know what they turned around and did right after the Auburn game.
To the Gators,
They beat the number 2 Gators. So, you know, now they're 17-11. Yeah, so they have a pathway to get into the tournament. They're a tournament-worthy team. We took advantage of their weakness on defense, and that's easy to do when you've got the big guys like Janiah Broome and Dylan Cardwell that can get up under the basket and create second-chance point opportunities, which that also is something that Auburn has improved a lot on the second half of this season, because you and I talked about it early in the season, was we weren't getting the rebounds, we were getting into foul trouble, and we weren't getting second chance points. Well, all of those things have improved.
They have.
A tremendous amount. Auburn, I think, is probably defensively easily the number one team in the nation.
Well, and you mentioned Dylan Cardwell. Yeah, he's been a defensive stud all year, and he's been known to be. And in this game, he racked up half of the team's steals. He had 3 blocks out of Auburn's 5, and he also reeled in 5 rebounds. But, yeah, so, I mean, he's someone, and I think you've mentioned this before or described him this way before. He is not some electric player offensively. He's not going to get you a lot of points, but that's not what he's there to do. You've already got depth to do that. You can give us 5 players hitting double digits easy. It's not – you don't need him for that. But when it comes to using his size, being under the net, shutting you down, that's the type of guy he is supposed to be, and he is that every single game.
He is the leverage guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy you leverage on offense to get under the basket and occupy defenders. Sometimes he gets double-teamed because of his size and his ability, which opens up opportunities for other people. But watching him last night, there were several occasions where as soon as he saw that the ball handler was about to offensively, the ball handler was about to make a move toward the basket, he was the guy that puts his wingspan out there real wide and starts backing up under the basket to be the screen.
Right.
And that's what you want out of a big guy like him, is to be the screen. And that's why he gets a lot of rebounds. He doesn't score very many points because he's not the shooter.
Right.
He's the leverage guy that you put out there to leverage against the defense to open up the lanes, the shooting lanes for the other players. And it works. And that's a 100% coaching. That's Bruce Pearl. If you watched that ball game last night and you heard the commentary from Charles Barkley, you know, he mentioned it more than once. He said, this team is the best Bruce Pearl team he's ever seen. And you really have to give Bruce Pearl so much credit for bringing the right players in to fit the type of basketball he wants to play.
Yeah, everyone's got a role.
This is it's a magical team to watch because that's what you're getting, especially these last three games, the Arkansas game, the Georgia game, and then last night's game. Was you saw the number one defense in the country play like a number one defense in the country, and you saw improvement on the offensive side and especially improvement on fouls. We didn't have any technicals last night. We didn't have anybody foul out. You know, Chad Baker Mazar got caught up, you know, in the emotions of the ball game the previous two games, and he had some technical, you know, they're excited. But another one of the big things that I like about Dylan Cardwell, and we've talked about it before, is he is the best cheerleader that team has. when Janab makes a big score or somebody else does something spectacular or he gets the alley-oop and does the backwards dunk, the first thing he does when he hits the floor is he turns and looks straight at the student section and starts cheerleading.
Are you not entertained?
Exactly. That's what he is. He is the guy that's the gladiator out there for Auburn on the basketball team. And it fits him because that's his personality. That's who he is.
Right. And that's the type of guy you hate to play against, but you love to have on your team.
Yeah, but digging into this Georgia game, you were right. Janiah Broome had a double-double, 31 points, 14 rebounds. Cardwell had 5 rebounds. But we had 4 players in double digits.
Including Denver Jones with
17. Absolutely. He was on fire. That game was probably his single best offensive performance that I've seen out of him.
And probably, yeah.
But he also got more minutes on the floor than he normally gets. He got 23 minutes on the floor where normally he gets in the high teens. Mm. Because you're rotating him, you're rotating Pettiford, you're rotating Chad Baker, and now Miles Kelly's getting more involved. So those 4 players are rotating a lot more out on the court. They're upping their numbers on as far as minutes on the floor, which is also showing itself in offensive production.
Right.
But Chad Baker, I mean, Chad Baker's a shot maker. Pettiford's a shot maker. Mm-hmm. For a short guy, he's a great shot maker. And he's not afraid to take those 3-pointers, too. If the defender backs off and he's got to look at the basket, he's looking at scoring. You know, so all of those things were improvements. But like I said before, to me, the big takeaway from the last couple of games was the improvements in not getting in bad foul trouble and getting rebounds and second chance opportunities.
That's actually a good segue because you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. And yeah, Bill, we got to talk about this Ole Miss game for a few minutes here. 106-76. Last week, we had talked about, or it's actually been a recurring subject over the past couple weeks, talking about how, listen, Auburn needs to prove that, especially with some of these trap games, quote-unquote, and when it comes to the trickiness of rematches, you can't take your foot off the gas. And I think with a 30-point win, Auburn kind of proved that against the Rebels. But, yeah, you talked about getting better on foul trouble. You've mentioned that a few times this segment. And Ole Miss did. They only had 3 categories where they were superior to you in this game last night. They had more steals, 6-4, and they committed more fouls, and they committed more turnovers. So only one good stat in their favor. This was a complete obliteration. It has to be, especially with the significance of late season form, this has to be one of your best performances of the year.
Now, we're talking specifically about the Ole Miss game last night.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Auburn shot nearly 60% from the field. They were
over 50 from 3.
And their free throw percentage was much higher.
Yes,
so the free baskets were a huge improvement. Not getting in foul trouble. More takeaways, more rebounds, higher shooting percentage. It's like last night's game. Everything was functioning. Mm-hmm. All the cylinders were firing. you know, in a race car parlance, it's, you know, all the tires were spinning, all the brakes were working, you're getting all the horsepower on the tarmac.
Yep.
You know, everything was working. And you could see it not just in the players' faces and the reactions that they were getting playing off of each other, but you could see it when they would turn and look back at the bench and see how excited the bench was and the coaching staff. There was a synergy there that if they can keep that up, this is really going to be a great close to the basketball season.
Right. It was phenomenal. You talked about Chad Baker Mazzara already being a great shooter. And, yeah, in this game against the Rebels, he and Jani Broome combined for 46 points, I believe.
Yep.
And that's just phenomenal.
And you talk about being unselfish, which is part of what Bruce Pearl teaches into his players.
Right.
Jani Broome, he did not have a double-double, but he had 24 points and 9 rebounds, one rebound away from a double-double. But he played unselfish.
Yeah.
He passed the ball a lot. He took shots. He made a couple of three-pointers that were just so awesome to watch. But their ball passing, their speed from one end of the court to the other, and their ability to find the open guy and pass the ball in tight windows, that's a huge thing that separates this Auburn team from not only other Auburn teams, but from teams that we're playing now this season. It's just so much fun to watch. It's almost magical. It's almost like, man, Auburn can really play basketball.
Yeah. Well, and it's a statement win because, you know, I kind of dragged Ole Miss over the coals last week because I was like, yeah, since a win over Kentucky they had a few weeks ago, they haven't really done anything impressive. But you talked about Georgia being a tournament team. Ole Miss is going to be up there too. I mean, I don't even think they have 10 losses yet on the year. So to see them rematching Auburn and just be so out of their element, I have to assume that is, yeah, just a testament to how great Auburn is right now.
Yeah, Ole Miss is 19-9 after last night's game.
Right. So yeah, even with the down game, this is phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, the SEC is probably going to have 12 to 14 teams in the tournament. And deservedly so. You know, it's a strong conference. You know, it's just Florida stumbled against Georgia, so, you know, they're obviously not going to be – they may even drop out of the top five. So at least,
yeah, that was a rough hit.
Yeah, it leaves, you know, Duke and Alabama, and I don't even know who else is in the top four or five. Tennessee, maybe.
I think Tennessee's floating around there, yeah.
Yeah. Iowa State.
Yeah, you got to worry about them. I think right now Florida is still in position to be a one seed, but I would say, yeah, their room for error took a crucial hit. You can't be getting beat up by a team that we were just recently talking about being kind of down on their luck. You can't have that. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Gators kind of bounce back from that. But yeah, it's already 10:35, so we'll take a quick break here. To recap, Auburn looked great against Georgia, and they looked even greater against Ole Miss, and that's the type of momentum you're going to need as you come into these next couple of games. Two top 20 teams, both on the road. That is what Auburn men's basketball has in store, but we'll get into that in our next segment. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coach M4 Steakhouse and my co-host Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach M4 Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach M4 Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on annual retirement contributions. With Robinhood Gold, the perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth. The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive a 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold at $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years. Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities.
Ladies, do you want to feel more connected to our community? Consider joining Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a woman's philanthropic group that has awarded 165 grants totaling more than $17 million in our community. Connect with other women and increase your area impact. Membership deadline is March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit Impact100Pensacola.org.
On today's episode of America's Least Wanted, the home invaders most likely to threaten your family are not human. Cockroaches can spread salmonella and trigger asthma attacks. Termites destroy billions of dollars in property each year. And stinging insects send 500,000 people to emergency rooms. Learn how to protect your family. Arm yourself with the facts at pestworld.org.
A public service announcement from the National Pest Management Association.
Local sports talk on the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. Weekdays 9 to 10 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Back to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. You can also find this episode of War Eagle Weekly and all previous ones on our podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. Bill, Bill Clark and Austin Price here in the studio with you, by the way. Bill, when we left off, we were kind of looking ahead to some of these ranked teams. And one of the recurring themes when it comes to some of these bigger games is we always like to remind everyone of the Auburn watch parties, right?
Yeah. I'm a member and have been for a very long time of the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club. It is an alumni-based club, but you don't have to be an alum to be a part of the club.
Yeah.
It's more of a fan-type club. We welcome everybody that wants to come and watch Auburn play sports, whatever sports we happen to be performing in and having the watch parties around. We're having our last basketball watch party for the regular season for the Alabama game on March 8th. We don't have a watch party scheduled for this Saturday. So we do all our watch parties at O'Reilly's downtown. Mm-hmm. The basketball season, primarily we're downstairs in the dart room, which is fine because it's a little more intimate. It's cozy. You got 3-4 big TVs and, you know, The crowd is usually a smaller crowd than it would be for the football games. But for football games, they give us the whole upstairs. And we've had some really big turnouts for those. And so anybody listening that's never been to one of our watch parties, by all means, you're invited. March 8th, the Alabama game, the closeout of the regular season, we're having a watch party there. And I'm sure once we get into the tournament, especially if we go deep like we did in 2019, that was one of the better basketball watch parties I remember, was that Final Four game when we played Virginia. Man, we had a great crowd in the dart room. So, and it's not just about watch parties. You can find Greater Pensacola Auburn Club on Facebook, and we have a lot of other events and things that we do here locally. We had a nice little get together for that baseball doubleheader we talked about earlier. That when they Auburn played Florida State at Wahoo Stadium.
Yeah.
We had We got to meet a lot of the players and coaching staff the day before. And we do a lot of things like that. So you can find us on Facebook. We have a footprint there. That's where we put a lot of our information out, not just about the club, but about what the club does. But you're absolutely welcome to come and watch the game with us March the 8th. Looking forward to having a good crowd, especially with it being not only the last game of the season, it's a home game, and it's against Alabama. So yeah. It's another, you know, like we did a couple weeks ago. It's the Iron Bowl in basketball, and it's at home.
And they're going to be out for blood.
And we're ranked, you know, number one unanimously, at least for this week.
Yeah, Bama's number six, I think, right now.
Yeah, so, you know, it the season is three games from being over. It doesn't get any easier.
No, it doesn't.
This is a hungry basketball team. And if you're hungry, you can go get a special at Coaching Four.
You can?
Why don't you tell them about it?
Yeah, you can saddle up to the bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. Again, that is one of our sponsors, Coaching Four Steakhouse.
Yeah, absolutely. Go there. Even if it's not for the special, go there. Eat something off their regular menu. Mention that you heard about it here. It makes a difference. It lets them know that that their sponsorship is paying off.
Right.
And it is. They're great people. I've known them, the owners, personally for a long time. But go patronize Coaching Four Steakhouse. Easy to find, right across the street from Five Flags Speedway. But back into this basketball season. Man, what a win last night. I could hardly go to sleep. I was so excited. Beat Ole Miss by 30 at home, put up over 100 points.
Yep.
The last time we hung 100 on an SEC team was against Alabama last year.
Wow.
They looked like they were almost playing mistake-free basketball. I mean, there were some mistakes. We had some turnovers.
Sure.
We missed some open shots.
No such thing as a perfect game.
No. I mean, you're not going to make every free throw. You're not going to hit every shot, even in the paint. You're going to miss an opportunity to prevent them from scoring points, but this was as close to a perfect basketball game as I've ever seen. And against a team that, you know, they were a hungry team also, Ole Miss. You know, they're playing for a tournament berth. And they should absolutely be in the tournament with a 19-9 record as they have right now. But the next game is against a perennial blue blood, you know, Kentucky.
Geez. Yeah.
Now, they're not the Kentucky we're used to, you know, seeing.
No.
Season in and season out.
Not some title favorite or anything.
No. But they're still a ranked team. They're ranked 17. It's at Kentucky, and it's a noon game on Saturday. So I expect Bruce Pearl to have this team as hopefully – firing on all cylinders like they did against Ole Miss. This is going to be a little bit tougher opponent. I think the score is obviously going to be tighter than a 30 point spread.
I think it's going to be higher, too. I think this is going to be a very high-scoring game.
I think it is, too, only because both of these teams have shooters.
Yeah.
And if Auburn can shoot, you know, 40% from three and close to 60% from inside the arc, it's going to be a shootout.
Well, and just looking at their season totals this year, the Wildcats, because we know what Auburn's all about. But, yeah, the Cats, I mean, they've got the edge in points, rebounds, and assists this year. So they're also scoring a lot of points, getting a lot of boards, and playing a lot of team ball.
Yeah, Auburn's averaging well over 80 points a game. We've had a couple of low-scoring games. That Tennessee game was that one we've talked about ad nauseum. That was a that was just a physical game. That's all I can say about that. That was a brawl, and neither team performed well offensively there. It was just a defensive massacre both sides.
Yeah, in case you don't remember, 53-51, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I think. Yeah, yep. Golly.
Yep, and I mean it, and. The second half was more low scoring than the first half. So, you know, they both came out of the locker room playing better defense. But I don't see that happening in any of the remaining games of this year just because the texture of both teams is different. But this Auburn-Kentucky game, I like the matchup. you know, it's going to be nice to go into that setting, you know, a setting where they have a rich, rich basketball history, and bring the unanimous number one team into that arena, and give those guys bring your A game.
Hopefully give them a loss.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking Auburn's going to win the game.
I agree,
but it's not going to be. It'll be closer to the way we played against Alabama last.
I agree. I think that's
the better blueprint for this game was the way we played against Alabama at Alabama.
Yeah.
To me, this game has all the same feel of that game as far as what both teams bring, because the Kentucky brings a very similar team to what you see in Alabama. Great defense, some shooters, well coached.
Tough place to play.
Yeah, very tough venue. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that. We can make our predictions in the last segment. I've got my prediction in mind for this game already.
Me too.
And you know what? And then right after that, it doesn't get any easier. I mean, 3 days later, you're going to
disagree. I think it does get easier. Well, easier than Kentucky, at least.
I'm thinking it doesn't get any easier because of the short time span between the two games.
One after the other, yeah.
Yeah, you're playing on a Saturday, and then you're turning right around, you're playing on a Tuesday, and both of them are away games, which means there's a lot of travel, you're in an unfamiliar place, you're not sleeping in your own bed. You know, so there's a lot of things that change that you have to factor those things in. Texas A&M's a better team than Kentucky, too, especially record-wise. Yeah. They're ranked number 12.
Yeah, they're higher ranked and they're having a better season.
I think they're a better offensive team than Kentucky. Kentucky's a really good defensive team. Texas A&M to me is kind of like the Mississippi State is this year. You know, you're not really sure what you're going to get.
Yeah, they're floating around a little bit. My problem with Kentucky is that they remind me a lot of Florida, and that's a bad thing from Auburn's perspective for obvious reasons. But Kentucky's a bit like hit or miss. They'll have a great week, they'll have a bad week, you know, whatever. Texas A&M, at least recently, they've looked to me to be a bit more consistently bad. Now, they may have had a good offense over the course of this season overall. They've had some good wins overall. But recently, their home loss to Vandy from last night is their first game in a couple of weeks where they even broke 70 points. And I think I told you this before we went live. Against their last five opponents that are currently ranked, they're like 1-4. So I think if Auburn beats Kentucky, which you and I agree they will, I think they're going to be able to go to A&M and probably win by more. Being in Texas, being right before the rematch with Alabama, it's going to be tough. It's going to be closer than it probably would be just at a random point in the week or in the season. But this, I don't know. I think you guys got this one made.
Well, I mean, you know, they lost by 2 to Vandy. So they're not going to retain that number 12 spot.
Not for long.
After
yeah.
this weekend. Their next game is this Saturday, and it's against Florida, and it's at Florida.
See, man.
So, you know.
That's tough.
We already saw what they did in the Vandy game. Now they go to Florida. Florida is going to be – they're going to have their hair on fire and their ears pinned back because they are not happy about getting beat by Georgia. I guarantee you they're not.
Yeah, they're looking for a redemption.
And they're not going to be the number 3 team in the country after this weekend either. I'm thinking they are going to drop down to either 5, 6, or 7. They're going to be somewhere either just in the top 5 or just out of the top 5.
I'll say probably 6.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. More like 6 or 7. And that all depends on how Tennessee and Duke and Iowa State play the next couple of games.
That's true.
What is Texas A&M going to look like coming off that Florida game? You know, we could get a really angry group of guys trying to prove something.
You could, yeah.
You know, and what a game to try to prove something. You got the number one team coming to your place.
On the haziest spot in their calendar.
Absolutely. And Texas A&M is a great venue, and their student base and their fan base is very loyal. Especially football program, but also in the basketball program. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that to me, the environment at Texas A&M is going to be a harder place for Auburn to play than at Kentucky against a team that's a lesser team, in my opinion, than Kentucky. So, you know, the things you got to look at that are going to be putting the pressure on Auburn to perform in both of those environments are a little different in both of those environments. I think the venue at Kentucky brings more because of the history of it being at Kentucky. But this Texas A&M team, I don't see them beating Florida. I mean, that's got to be straight up about that.
No, I agree.
If they play a really close game against Florida and keep it competitive, then I see them playing more in their normal style of basketball. But if they get a tail whooping, like, you know, a 30-point beatdown, they're going to be angry. And then you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah, it's a very emotional roller coaster when it comes to how Texas A&M is going to be approaching Auburn at such a pivotal point in the year. So, I agree with you. That's absolutely going to have an impact on this outcome. But I think you and I are on the same page. We haven't looked at each other's score predictions yet. Again, we will announce those in our last segment in just a few minutes. But, yeah, I think you and I are probably on the same page when it comes to our predictions here, if I had to guess. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coaching Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road, right across the street from Five Flag Speedway, and my co-host Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coaching Force Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coaching Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
That's awful, huh?
My brother was saying he got life insurance from Ethos. With Ethos, it only took 10 minutes and he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online, no medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit GetEthos.com. That's GetEthos.com.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
When the power goes out, your business can't afford downtime. Generator Source in Pensacola keeps your operations running no matter the weather. From industrial generators to commercial backup systems, they offer the most trusted brands, plus expert installation and 24/7 support. Keep your factory, office, or restaurant powered, even when the grid can't deliver. Visit them online today at GeneratorSource.com and be ready. Rain or shine, Generator Source, powering Pensacola's businesses.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. And right now, you're going to pay for groceries. But you decide what groceries. Just keep in mind, you're running out of dishwashing soap. But you decide if you're going to buy that soap. Just those dishes won't clean themselves, will they? Remember, with Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then, you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you're in the thick of a project, Harbor Freight is the place that always comes in handy. Whether you're picking up something for your pickup truck or a power tool for your project, at Harbor Freight, your dollar always goes further. And these days, when everything seems to cost more, you can take pride in knowing that you get hardworking tools at hardworking prices. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight.
Attention all sports fanatics in Pensacola. Brace yourself for the ultimate sports talk experience. Join the millions of listeners tuning in to the Paul Feinbaum Show exclusively on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. From 2 to 6 p.m., Paul Feinbaum brings you the most captivating discussions, insider insights, and heated debates surrounding college football and beyond. Don't miss out on the excitement. Tune into the Paul Feinbaum Show on 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
The Rich Eisen Show, weekdays 11 till 2 on ESPN Pensacola.
1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
All sports, all the time.
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road, and brought to you by my co-host Bill Clark. Austin Price here in the studio with you. Bill, it's already 10:57, so we don't have a ton of time here, but that's okay. This last segment's dedicated to our quick score predictions anyway. You and I have not conversed on what our score predictions are until now. Auburn, Kentucky, what you got?
I like Auburn going into the venue. And this is going to be a big game. It's going to be a lot of people watching it. It's going to be very important with the outcome of this game, what it means for both teams rest of the season. I have Auburn beating Kentucky at home 90-84.
You and I are very close, 92-85. I've got this one. We talked about it being higher scoring. Kentucky puts up a lot of points, a lot of team ball that they've played throughout this year. Kind of a hit-or-miss team at Kentucky. That's a bit intimidating for me. So I think they're going to give you a bit of a scare, but you pull away, and it's going to be one of those games where, and this is oddly specific, but it's going to be one of those games where Auburn has the lead, the game's over, but Kentucky's still fouling because out of tradition, essentially, and Auburn just kind of tacks on a couple more free throws, and it's out of there.
Yep, I like that. I like that analogy.
You're like, I love it when it means Auburn's got it in the bag.
Yes.
All right, and then that's going to be on Saturday, March 1st. On Tuesday, March 4th, Auburn once again on the road against a top 20 opponent, Texas A&M. I thought this was going to be a bigger differential. What do you think the score is going to be?
I agree it's going to be a bigger differential, only because of the caliber of the team that you're going to be playing. I think Auburn's defense is going to play against Texas A&M much harder and more effectively than what Texas A&M has been seeing out of other teams that they played. Mm-hmm. So I see this Auburn 92, Texas A&M 80.
Wow, okay. Okay, so what? You got a 12-point game? So do I. I don't have it being quite that high scoring, though, because, as I said, Texas A&M, they've struggled more on the offensive side these past several games. So I'm going to take Auburn 88-76.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm giving them the 80 because of it being in their house.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, they just broke 80 against Vandy, albeit in a loss. So, I mean, that was a much-needed offensive rejuvenation for them. But, yeah, I think you and I told you before we came to this last segment, we're on the same page here. Auburn should beat both of these teams. I'm not scared of any upset alerts. May struggle a little bit with Kentucky and then pull away a bit more against A&M. And I think that's the perfect note to head into your rematch with Alabama on. How could it not be?
Absolutely. Don't forget about the watch party. Yep. March 8th, O'Reilly's downtown, Auburn, Alabama.
Yes, absolutely. All right, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. When we return next week, hopefully we will have a lot of good news to talk about.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.